Go to 1 Peter, if you would, please. The first chapter. You, everybody believing with me? Thank you, Lord. I just got a picture of everybody there with their napkins on and their fork and going. Feed me. Well, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. Is that right? They shall be. They will be. You can count on it. I can't do it, but the Lord can use us. Hallelujah. The 1 Peter, we looked in the first chapter, and we saw that the Bible talked about here the precious blood of the Lamb. It talks about that we weren't redeemed by corruptible things, but with the precious blood, 1 Peter 1:19. And you'll find he uses that word more than once in this epistle, precious. And the word precious has been maligned and distorted, and you'll hear people saying it, you know, in a disdainful way. Well, isn't that precious? And mocking these kind of things. Well, that's the enemy. Yeah. That's the devil. Precious is a Bible word, and it means extremely valuable or extremely expensive, extremely valuable. It's used, you know, that box of ointment that the woman broke and gave to Jesus, said it was precious. Yes. Ointment. Well, that means it was very expensive, very costly. And isn't that what he's saying? That all of the silver and gold and precious metals in the world couldn't redeem us. Couldn't pay for one soul. But there was something. There is something valuable enough. And you'd call that precious. Right? Extremely valuable. What is it? The blood of Christ. It was and is the only thing that could redeem us. And God was willing to send His Son, and Jesus was willing to lay down His life and shed His blood, and He has purchased us. Amen. Oh, somebody say, He has.
He has.
Redeemed me.
Redeemed me.
He has bought me,
with His own blood.
And you know, Revelation goes on to say, and He has made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall rule and reign with Him.
Yes, amen.
That's what He bought us for.
Yes, that's good.
We have a future. And the biggest, by far, the biggest part of it lies beyond this life.
Thank you, Lord.
This is the briefest thing we will ever do.
That's right.
This will soon, very soon, be over. But what we're doing right now is affecting what we do later. And if we're faithful in some things down here, He said, you know, remember what He said, that the Lord would say, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over much. Hallelujah. So we do want to be faithful right now and complete every assignment and do everything He gives us to do. It is affecting our future.
Yes, amen.
Now, in the second chapter, you'll see He's continuing, the Spirit of God is continuing with some of these same thoughts. He said, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, keep in mind, He just got through saying, we are redeemed with the incorruptible word of God. He's still talking about the word. And how that flesh is like grass, but the word endures forever. He's still talking about the word. And how that the word is seed. Keep going. Verse 3 says, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and what?
Precious.
This is a theme in this book. Everybody say precious.
Precious.
Tell me what that means. Extremely. Not just valuable. Extremely valuable. Well, is there anything in the universe more valuable than the blood of Jesus? And this is a word that God is using to convey His thoughts to us. So we should treat this word in a holy way and get rid of any mockery that had seeped in over the years around us. Somebody say, precious. And when you say it with reverence. Because you are talking about something that God says is extremely valuable. That it'll take revelation past this life to begin to understand just how valuable it is. But by faith, we can agree with Him now. And say, yes. Yes. He said, to whom coming as unto a living stone, talking about Jesus. You see, this wasn't written in chapter and verse. Keep in mind what he just got through saying about the precious blood of the spotless Lamb. Now he's referring to Him as a living stone in a building. Now, we are God's body. We are God's church. We are God's vineyard. We are His house. All of these things are true. He uses these things to help us get a picture and understand how it's working. It's all of it's true. And Jesus is a living stone disallowed of men. That means rejected. Rejected. But from God's perspective, precious. Now this is the contrast I believe the Spirit of God wants us to camp on this week. And to qualify us to handle more and greater, there needs to be an adjustment in us. We live in a defiled, a disrespectful world that by and large has disdained and rejected our Holy Master.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. It is. Oh, it has gotten so much worse than it even was 50 years ago. You'll hear people say things about God and about Jesus and about His holy things and His Holy Spirit and His people that you would not have heard 40 years ago. Huh? And said publicly and said boldly and blatantly. Well, that's the devil. That's the God of this world influencing, and he hates God. And he is a debaser. And he is a demeanor and a defiler. And that's what he's trying to do. And it's not just out of spite. It's because when you reverence God, he shows up. The more you reverence him, the more he is free to manifest in the midst of that. And all the devil's afraid of this and scared of this. And so he, in places where everybody's cussing and blaspheming and all that, as a general thing, you're not going to see the manifestations of God. Oh, but in a group. Oh, when they're all in one place, in one heart and one mind, one accord to love God and reverence Him, He will manifest Himself in their midst. Hallelujah. This is something that my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, and father of many, talked about in the latter phases of his ministry. He would talk about reverence, and he would say that some of these very things, he said, you just watch. He said, when people begin to be more reverent, now that doesn't mean dead. Doesn't mean scared and dead. But reverent. when he said, you watch it. When people begin to be more reverent, the manifestation of God will, the presence of God's what he said. Yeah. The presence of God will increase.
Thank you, Lord.
That's how it works.
Yes, amen.
He inhabits the praises of his people. Well, a real praise involves awareness of him and who he is. And you don't praise what you don't value.
That's good.
Hallelujah. I didn't plan on saying that. As living stones, you as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living stone that all of God's house is built upon. And you and I, having been born again in his likeness and image, we also are living stones.
Yes,
built upon the sure foundation,
yes,
of Jesus Christ, the precious cornerstone.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And our purpose in this, we're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. He's talking about you,
yeah,
and me. We've been made kings and priests unto our God. Well, priests offer sacrifices. Everything that God gave through Moses in the tabernacle and then in the temple with all of that and all of the sacrifices, all of that is graphic portrayals of spiritual reality. Realities in heaven and realities in the house of God, the spiritual house of God. And notice, though, that he says, we as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are what?
Acceptable
to God. Now that lets you know right away that not everything is. Huh? If everything's acceptable, you don't need to differentiate between acceptable and not acceptable. And what we need revelation about is that God doesn't accept all offerings. He never has. And a wrong idea has been left in many churches and by many ministers and ministries that if you'll just shake the people long enough till the money falls out, they'll be blessed in spite of theirself. Not true. I said not true. That is not true. Many offerings God does not accept. And we need to understand this and why. With God, it's never about the money. It's always about the heart. Always. Always. And you can't write a big enough number to cover for a wrong heart. You will never impress God with an amount. Huh? You're not going to shake God with a big amount. He creates galaxies. Star systems. But Jesus remarked about a widow woman that gave two mites.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, would he have been as impressed with the rich people giving two mites?
No.
You say what you will. There, you can't have a right heart and you're not even trying.
Hello.
Again, see, people are back to amounts. They think the amount is the big thing. That's going to be different for everybody.
Right.
And not just with money. The Bible talks about offering up your body as a living sacrifice. Your time, your opportunities, your energies, your resources. We are a spiritual house. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Right? Are you interested in this at all? Then everybody pray a prayer. Say, Father God, teach me your honor, your reverence, your fear, and what is acceptable to you. What makes an acceptable sacrifice and offering? I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Keep reading. He said, verse 6, wherefore it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect or select, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. This verse, you'll find this in Isaiah, you'll find it in the Psalms, you'll find it half a dozen times quoted and referred to. This is a word much heralded in the scriptures. Let me read it again. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Anybody know who he's talking about? Huh? Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah. Elect. What? Precious. He that believes on him shall not be confounded. He goes on to say, and unto you therefore which believe, he is what?
Precious.
Precious. But to them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. This is the biggest thing that is happening on the entire planet Earth. Biggest thing is that what? What every human being is doing with the Christ, the precious Redeemer and his redemption. If when you hear about it, you hear the gospel and you are made aware of it, if you respect it and you love it and you count him precious, you'll be saved. Hallelujah. If you hear it and you count it nonsense and you reject it, you are lost. No matter where you go to church or what you do or who you are, what makes no difference. What you do with this, whether you count him precious or nothing, determines heaven or hell for you. But it affects everything else in our life and after this life, because it is a heart revealer. What you and I count precious are worth nothing, worthless, reveals our heart, reveals our worth. How you assess his worth reveals your worth. And that is referring to the words over this platform here. Hallelujah. He said, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believes on him shall not be confounded. Will anybody lift up a hand and say, I believe on him, and he is precious in my eyes. Hallelujah. Unto you therefore which believe, like you and I just got through saying, he is precious. Extremely valuable. I am not okay hearing people slander the Lord Jesus. I'm not okay with it. Now, I'm not going to get in the flesh and fight and do all that kind of stuff, but if I have any choice in the matter, I'm not going to stand around and listen to it. If you're on my turf, you're going to have to leave. If I'm on yours, I'm already gone. Why? It matters. I don't play religion. He is my Lord and my Savior. He gave it all for me, and I am committed to Him for eternity. And every word that comes out of His mouth is truth. Hallelujah. And everything He has done and continues to do, He ever lives to make intercession for you and I. Somebody say precious, 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 valuable, honorable, beyond telling. He is. And people are revealing their self by what they say about Him. And or what they don't. And His things. You know, the Bible talked about when the Spirit of God through Paul was correcting the church at Corinth for some of their errors and mistakes. He says, nobody calls Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Never happened, never will. The Holy Spirit honors Jesus. Hallelujah. Only and ever. If it's the Holy Spirit, it will not ever be in the least dismissive, much less disrespectful of Jesus.
Yes.
Will glorify Him. Every true prophecy inspired by the Spirit will glorify Jesus. Every spirit revealed revelation will glorify Jesus. It won't just glorify the man or woman saying it and doing it. It will glorify Jesus. Jesus. Precious. Jesus. Hallelujah. I can sense His presence already. How about you? Just what we've already talked about. He can confirm this. This is true. This is Him. Said, unto you that believe, He's precious. But to them that be disobedient. Now this same word disobedient is translated disbelieving. And it has to do with refusing to believe, won't believe, and won't obey. The scripture in the New Testament uses the phrase, the obedience of faith. Faith and obedience go together. Doubt and disobedience go together. To those that are disobedient and disbelieving, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, even though they did, the same is made the head of the corner. No matter what they thought. He's still the head.
Yeah.
People say, well, we don't accept Him. Well, tough. He still is. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. God knew from the beginning who they were, and that they would cuss and blaspheme and never accept, and where they're headed. He knew it already. And the world, the unsaved, ungodly world, will never gladly, willingly be respectful and show reverence to Jesus. Goes against their very nature. So don't be shocked when they don't. Verse 9, but you. We're not the disbelieving. We're not the disobedient. We're not the ones lost and heading into perdition and destruction. You, we are a chosen generation. The Lord has found us valuable. That's what's holding the finishing up of this. He's waiting for the rest of the precious fruit of the earth. We're part of it. We're part of it. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar. Now that's a King James word. It means a people belonging to God. exclusively His. That you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. In time past, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. In time past, you didn't even have any mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Oh, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. Whew. Glory to God. That's our text. We got to it. We got. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. We got to our text. Go back to Genesis. The scripture says in the fourth chapter, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain. She bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. A what?
Offering.
You'll hear people nowadays, preachers talk about, you know, God don't care about offerings. You know, He used to. This is long before Moses. This is long before Abraham. There was no scripture telling anybody to give an offering. Where'd they get this? Why are they bringing offerings? They got it straight from God, the Creator. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. That was his occupation. An offering. Everybody say offering.
Offering,
offering to the Lord. And then Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Now, we're given some description of Abel's offering. We're given no description of Cain's. That tells you something. What does it tell you? Cain's offering was nothing to talk about. It was no big deal. Abel's offering was remarkable. What does that mean? Worth making a remark about. And he brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and we all know who that was.
Fluffy.
Won 4 blue ribbons at the county fair. Huh? Was on the cover of Sheep Monthly. And the Lord what? The Lord what? The Lord what?
Had respect.
Had respect to Abel. No, notice. First, Abel. And. Had respect to Abel. And his offering. It wasn't the offering that got God's approval. It was the heart of the giver of the offering. There's some error that needs to be corrected in our circles. What do you mean, Brother Keith? You're going to hear me say this multiple times this week probably. You cannot buy the gift of God. You cannot buy a blessing. You cannot. You cannot buy salvation or healing or anointing. Are y'all with me or not? You cannot. It is insulting to try to. Deeply insulting. On the other hand, to do nothing shows a heart problem. Shows a lack of love. Shows a to hold on to your money shows you value that more than you do Him. and his things. And that's why people get so mad about offerings, and especially, you know, the kind of things we do around here. Talk about big things and give big things. Oh, the devil hates it. Well, tough. Huh? And the do you know the rest of the story here? Cain got so mad, didn't he? He got so mad, he became murderous. The first murder in earth was over an offering. But was it really over the offering? It was over the heart. It was over something good that was in Abel's heart and something not good that was in Cain's heart. And that was already there before offering time. The unimpressive offering just showed it up. Just revealed it. And again, that's why people get so mad when they hear us talk about some of these things, because they are unwilling to do anything. They won't tithe. They won't give. Hey, I'm not your judge, but don't rain on my parade. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying myself. Nobody's making us do this. We want to do this. And around here, nobody's telling you what to do. Not even asking you for anything. Right? But it is a heart revealer. It reveals the heart. And so when that happened unto Abel and his offering, God had respect. He accepted his offering. Why? Because he accepted him. Oh, come on, can you see this? He accepted, you know, come on, you got to understand. The creator of the universe, in his amazing throne, didn't go, woo, a sheep. Woo, a pretty sheep. He made sheep. Huh? Woo, a big offering. No. It's something he saw in Abel's heart that motivated him to give the offering. What he gave and the way he gave it.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And when he looked at Cain, he's not just looking at what Cain brought. Man looks on the outward appearance, right? But God looks where? He looks past everything on the outside, looks right down on the inside of you, and he knows your thoughts. And your intents. He sees our thoughts afar off, the scripture said. And he did not respect Cain's offering. Cain unto his offering, unto Cain. Do you hear the language now again? Not just to his offering, unto Cain. And to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain, when he saw it, that God did not accept his offering. And so we just got through reading this in the New Testament, in the book of Peter, about an acceptable offering and sacrifice. Now here we are, that's close to the end of the book. Here we are at the beginning of the book. God has always been this way. He does not accept all offerings. He never has. He does not. And if preachers leave the impression that he does, they're misrepresenting him. But the thing is, I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. It's not for me to judge you or you to judge me. But we do need to know the truth that it's not about an amount. Huh? It's always been about the heart. And if you do nothing, it shows your heart. It shows some things about your heart that you don't want shown, but it's still true. If you don't even try, you never do anything. I know I was this must have been 20 years ago or so. I was at another part of the country, walking across a lobby in a hotel, and a woman said, "Hey, Brother Keith, hey, Brother Keith." And she waved, and she said, "You've been sending me letters." And back then we were sending a cassette. Anybody remember that?
Yes,
in the letter, a cassette. that's our seed. That's our seed. And, you know, one of the first partner letters I ever sat down to write, I sat there for the longest time, and I said, "Lord, I don't want to ask for anything. I just don't. I want to give. I want to give something to our partners and people that believe in us." And the Lord, just as clear, he said, "Son, the most valuable thing, most precious thing you have to give is the revelation of the word I give you." He said, "That's the most valuable thing you have." I thought, "Yes, I do. Hallelujah." And so we'd send a message. Amen. And that's my precious seed. That's the most valuable thing I got to give. And a lot of you have been hooked with us for decades. And I have to talk in tongues to tell you how much I appreciate it. And how thankful I am that you believe in us the way you do. Pray over us and support. And what was I talking about before I got?
The lady in the lobby.
The lady in the lobby. Thank you, BJ. She said, "You've been sending me these letters and these cassettes for years," and said, "It's just when it comes, it's just exactly what I need." And she said, "I've never sent you a dime. And you send these to me, and they help me so much, and they benefited my life. Thank you, thank you. But I've never sent you anything." I said, that's okay. Glad that it blessed you. And as I'm walking away from her, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "That's not okay." He said, "You just misrepresented me."
Yes.
When you told her that was okay. I stood still. I thought, "Well, I don't want to misrepresent you, Lord." Should I go back and say? He said, No. Just. I was kind of dreading that, you know. Do I go back and say, "Hey, that's not okay"? I was going, "Whew." I didn't want to do that. He said, she could send a quarter a month.
Yes.
She could send 50 cents a month.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
She could do something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
To do nothing when you got something,
yes,
is a problem.
Yes.
Not that I thought she owes us anything. She doesn't. It was a gift. But the scripture says if you've been ministered to spiritually,
yes,
you're supposed to minister naturally.
Yes.
Not to try to pay for.
Come on.
But if it blessed you,
yes,
you want to send it to somebody else,
amen,
so that they can get it at no charge. And so, no, we're not supposed to ask or require or demand. But the Lord said, that's not all right. She could do something. You know, something. It's quiet in here. You hear quiet in here? How many think you should do something?
Yes.
And not nothing?
Yes.
If you do nothing and don't even try, it shows a heart problem.
Yes. Right. Amen.
There's a deficiency.
That's good.
In your heart. Not even trying. Well, he said to Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Now, we're not just talking about money either. One of the most valuable things you have to give is your time. Right? Get up, get ready, go to church. Show up. Right? Volunteer. Help. He said he didn't have respect to Cain and his offering. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. So he went into a rage and into a depression, which again shows he had problems in his heart.
Yeah.
Tell me, what was it time to do? What was it time to do right here? We're not talking about a wild-eyed preacher. We're talking about the Almighty God said, "I don't like your offering, and so I'm not accepting it." What do you do?
Correct.
You say, "Oh, God." Is it time to hit your knees, child of God? Is it time to hit your knees? Is it? Is it time to get mad? Who are you mad at? Who are you so upset with? Well, the main one he's upset with is God. But since he can't hurt God, next closest thing is his brother. Take his frustrations out on him. And the Lord even said, Cain, why are you so mad? And why are you so depressed? Your countenance fallen. Anytime the Lord asks you a question like that, you don't have a good reason. Don't even try to get into it. If the Lord says, why are you mad? You go, well, I guess I should not be, right? Why are you down? Why are you depressed? Well, since you asked me, I probably shouldn't be, right? So, if you do well, show me this next phrase. Will you not be what? Accepted. Does the Lord want to accept him?
Yes.
Is it possible for him to be accepted?
Yes.
All he's got to do is make a heart adjustment, a heart correction, and be willing to make a change. But he was not. And that's one of the saddest things. You'll see people, if you've pastored any length of time, if you've ministered to folks any length of time, you'll see people get offended, get mad, get hurt, and man, they won't forget it for the next 1,000 years. They're gone. And that's it. And it's sad. Because who does it cost? And sadly, it can cost people around them too. You'll find people that get like that, they get bitter. And the Bible says, watch out that you don't get bitter because you will fail of the grace of God. What does that mean? You will not benefit from God's grace when you're acting like that. And without God's grace, you won't make it. You just won't. And you'll find people that get like that, they get embittered and holding grudges and unforgiveness and all. Next thing you know, their marriage is done. Next thing you know, they're addicted to alcohol or something. I mean, it just goes just down the drain. Worse and worse and worse. When all they had to do was say, I'm wrong. God help me. I will change. That's all they had to do. And even if you didn't see how you could change, that's all you got to do. God will give you grace. He will help you. He gives grace to the humble. Yes. If you humble yourself and say, God, I'm sorry. I just threw that together last minute. I wasn't even trying. And it was disrespectful. Forgive me. Give me another opportunity. I'll get this right. God would have been so happy with him. He'd have been so happy with him. And his brother would have never been murdered. 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter. This is the story of when Hannah could not conceive, and miraculously God heard and answered her prayer, and she did, and Samuel was born, who was a prophet of the Lord, and one of the greatest that the Scriptures talks about. During his time, the heads of the ministry were not doing right and not doing well. And this phrase that we have over the platform comes from this chapter. But a lot of times people only quote that one phrase. I want us to back up and see where it came from and how God came to say these words. In 1 Samuel 2 and 12, and I'm reading the Amplified, if we can put that up. 1 Samuel 2 and 12. Eli was the high priest. And God had chosen the sons of Aaron and the sons of Levi to be in the priesthood and in the service of the ministry. God chose them. And it's a family thing. And it passed down from father to son and father to son and the whole family, men and women, everybody were in this. This was their job. This was their ministry. And Eli was the high priest. But his sons, the Amplified says, were base and worthless. Sons of Belial, the King James says. But if you read other translations, it brings out this word. And keep that in mind, because we're going to see there's an overlap with the meaning of this and profane. Profane. Now, when we hear profane, we think profanity in Western English, but that's not, I mean, it qualifies as part of that. But profane has to do with common, dirty, worthless. It is the exact opposite of special and holy. The sons of Eli were that way. They were base. They were worthless. They were profane. They did not know or regard the Lord, and they are number 2, 3, and 4 and whatever in the ministry. Has it happened since then that people are in the ministry that don't know God? They didn't know God and they didn't regard the Lord. This has to do with their respect. Verse 13, the custom of the priest with the people were this. And this is something they came up with on their own. Rules they made and implemented into the offerings of the Lord. When any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the flesh was boiling with a flesh hook of 3 prongs in his hand. And he thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took. You hear that word? Yeah. Took. For himself. God never said a word about any such thing. This is just something they came up with. So they did in Shiloh with all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat. And if you read in the law, oh man, the scriptures were very specific about you burn the fat belonged to the Lord. And nobody is to eat any fat, and it was to be burned before the Lord first, before anybody had any portion of the rest of it. And that is a graphic picture.
Yeah.
What do you mean? It was burned and became smoke that wafted up towards heaven out of sight.
That's right.
And if it was done with the right heart, it would be accepted of God. Well, here they came with that same dumb 3-prong hook and, you know, trying to get as much of it as they could for themselves. And if somebody was there that knew something about the law, it said the priest servant would say, give the priest meat to roast. He will not accept boiled meat from you. He, you know, the preacher likes his steak rare. So give it here. And verse 16, and if the man said, well, okay, but let's burn the fat first. Why? Because the scripture says.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, you can have it, but burn the fat first and then take as much as you want. But the priest servant would say, no, you give it to me now or I will take it by force.
Wow.
Oh. Verse 17. So the sin of the two young men were very great before the Lord, for they did what?
Despise.
What was the problem?
Despise.
Wasn't just the fish hook. What was it?
Despise.
They despised the offering of the Lord. And if you read other translations, it brings out that men despised the offerings of the Lord.
Yes.
What does that? What does that mean? However how the leaders treat the offerings will be reflected with everybody else that sees and hears. And if leadership doesn't respect the tithes and the offerings, that'll permeate. That, That callousness, that looseness.
It's good.
Nothing's holy, nothing's precious, nothing's important. And, see, people don't start off there.
That's right.
They start off cutting corners.
Yeah.
Right? What's the big deal? But over months and years, people can get so far away from what God said that it never even resembles it anymore. Sadly, we are there right now today. A goodly number of folks in our circles and camps don't even respect tithing anymore.
That's right.
Oh my.
That's right.
Don't even respect it. I heard a Word of Faith minister a while back actually kind of make fun of Malachi 3. It was God that said. God who said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And prove. Did God say that or did he say it?
Yes. Yes.
When did he say, forget all that?
Never.
You know, scratch that. I don't know what I was thinking, but I, you know. People don't realize how disrespectful they are being with God and his word. It's not okay. I said it's not okay to speak lightly. Now here's something about despising. In our vernacular, when we hear despise, we almost think disgust. But that's not what the scripture's talking about. The term lightly esteem is used interchangeably with despising. Just simply ignoring something is treating it like it doesn't matter. Treating it like it's nothing. That is despising. And that's where it starts. And it just will get worse and worse and worse and worse. Our whole society in general is experiencing the aftermath of the rebellion of the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
It just has gotten worse and worse since then. And whatever's in the world gets into the church. All too effectively. And you'll find that a few years ago, a whole lot of people, they wanted to try to demonstrate to everybody that they're not churchy. And that they're modern.
Yeah, yeah.
And where the scripture says, inquire about the old paths. Look at Abraham from which you came. And in many people's endeavor to show that they're not traditional, they've become worldly. They've adopted more and more of the world's ways and things to where, if you watch, it looks so similar to ungodly, worldly entertainment. Ungodly, worldly talking, ways of referring to things, ways of dealing with things. And that's a problem. Because what you will see less of is the presence of God.
That's right.
Hatikinas. Let me wait before I say that. The sin of the two men were very great before the Lord because of what? They despised the offerings of the Lord. They despise the offerings. The today's English version says, the sin of the sons of Eli was extremely serious in the Lord's sight because they treated the offerings of the Lord to the Lord with such disrespect. And the King James says, men abhorred the offerings of the Lord because of what they did. And you can see, it's sad. That's exactly what the enemy intended, is to get people and leaders that abuse the offerings, that misrepresent the offerings, and then people get disillusioned, and they quit, and they backslide, and then somebody will try to come up and say to try to save it. Well, we don't care about offerings. And you should care about the Word.
Yes.
You should care about what God said is important to Him.
That's right,
and these things have always been important to Him.
Yes.
Nothing by compulsion.
Right.
Nothing by requirement. It doesn't the New Testament say? Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God doesn't care. God don't care whether you give or not. He don't care. Huh? Just come. No. God loves. That ought to get us right there. Right? If God loves it, sign me up. Right?
Yes,
is that right?
Yes,
if God loves it,
yes.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
What does He love?
Cheerful.
Giving.
Yeah, that's right.
He loves. You can't take one away from the other. He loves the giving if it's done with the right heart. And if you're cheerful about it, if you're glad about it, that reveals. Nobody's making you do anything. You're glad. You're happy. You want to. Freely you've received. Freely give. Hallelujah. And the great thing about it, you don't have to have a huge amount in your account. Huh? If it's brought, what does Corinthians say? If it's brought with a willing mind, it's accepted. Oh, somebody needs to shout about that. If it's brought with a willing heart and a willing mind, it's accepted. Not according to what you don't have, but according to nothing. No, according to what you do have, where you are. Doing nothing is not accepted either. Now, God's not going to make you. Spiritual people are not going to ride you about it. Not even going to ask you. But it doesn't mean you're okay. It's not acceptable. We belong to Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When our heart's right, we want to please Him.
Yes.
We want to please Him.
Yes.
We want to be a part. And see, that's what was going on with Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody told him to bring Fluffy. Nobody told him. Huh?
Yeah.
He came up with that on his own.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I say? On his own?
Yeah. Somebody
says, well, no, God probably told him. No, I said on his own. What do you mean? Do you remember the scripture says, as you purpose in your heart. That's not God making you or even telling you something. As you purpose in your heart, so let Him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you ask the Lord, He'll help you to see where your heart is and where you are. But again, if it's not coming from you and your decision, it's not a spiritual sacrifice. It doesn't mean anything to Him. You got to be involved in it in a core way. Or elsewise, it's not even an acceptable offering. So keep reading. Verse 22, if you skip down to verse, still in the Amplified. Eli was very old. And he heard all his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who served at the door of the tent of meeting. So there's affairs and fornication. And he said to them, why do you do such things? This is Eli talking to his sons. I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Well, you would. No, my sons, it's no good report which I hear the Lord's people spreading abroad. If one man wrongs another, God will mediate for him. But if a man wrongs the Lord, who will intercede for him? Yet they did not listen to their father, for it was the Lord's will to slay them. He already saw they're not going to repent. They're not going to change. He's going to have a change. And Eli was too weak He said, boys, I hear bad things. You need to quit. You need to straighten up. If you read the rest of these accounts, not too many verses later, both these boys are dead. And the Ark of the Covenant is lost and in the enemy's camp, set up by the Philistines' fish god, Dagon. How awful. But God had the last laugh. He made old Dagon fall down in front, and they propped him back up. Next time he put him down hard. Broke his arms up and everything. And the Philistines said, ooh, we got to get this out of here. This ain't working. And they decided pretty quick, we don't want this. We got to get this back where it belongs. But Eli possibly could have saved his sons' lives if he'd have been stronger with them.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's right.
You don't help your kids. You don't help your grandkids. You don't help people under you as leaders by letting everything go.
That's right.
And telling them to be okay.
Amen.
Why? Because if you don't judge yourself, you will be judged. That's New Testament. Right? And so somebody said, well, what should he have done? Long before this, when either boy did some kind of dumb, disrespectful thing, he should have called him on it. He said, boys, we're in the ministry. This is the priesthood. You cannot talk like that. You cannot act like that. And the first time somebody stole an offering, when it was something that they shouldn't have had, they should have at least been set aside for a while. And if they wouldn't listen two or three times, you put them out. You put them out. You put them, yeah, but it's my boy. Do you want them to die? Do you want them to be judged because they won't judge themselves?
Come on now.
See, people think, well, that's harsh. No, it's love.
Yeah.
It's mercy. But it's rough on you as a parent. It's rough on you as a leader. But you got to care more about them and their future than you do how you feel at the moment. Is that true? Is that? And he said these things. Verse 26. Now the boy Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and with men. God's already got somebody in place coming up. Somebody that respects him and sees his things as precious. Now, something you'll see throughout the whole word is this phrase, the fear of God. The fear of the Lord. Just as applicable today as it has always been. And sometimes, like you heard Abraham say one time, there's no fear of God in this place. And he just made certain decisions based on that. The fear of the Lord, it includes fear. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I mean, God ain't this Mickey Mouse version of him that some people have come up with. I mean, he is the Almighty on the throne. The power that's keeping all the stars burning. And the power that's keeping gravity holding all of the orbits is coming from him. Coming out of him. All upheld by the word of his power. Yes. And he is holy, 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 holy.
Yes, sir.
That's why the only way we could get access to him is by Jesus coming with his holy blood.
Yes.
And pay. We could have never got there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, somebody say holy.
Holy.
And the scripture said that a man of God came in verse 27 and said, thus saith the Lord, I plainly revealed myself to the house of your father, talking about Aaron, when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house. Moreover, I selected him. Everybody say selected. God selected him out of all the people in these millions. And Malachi, maybe we'll look at this later, but in Malachi, he tells why he selected Levi. He said it was because of the fear that he had towards me. When you start talking about why did God pick that person?
Yeah.
The right answer is always the heart.
Yes, yes, yes.
Always.
Yes.
Always. And that's why sometimes it may look to you like he got the wrong person. Because you're looking at external qualifications and all of this. But God can fix that.
Yes, he can.
Huh?
Yeah.
If somebody's got no talent, he can give them talent.
Yes,
if they ain't smart enough, he can make them smart enough. If they don't have money, he got plenty of money. But a heart that's right,
yes.
You don't find that on every corner. And a lot of times if people don't have it, they never will. They just won't change. And so, you know, the Bible said, you know, he selected Saul and had to put Saul away as king. But he said concerning David, I've found a man after my own heart that shall do according to all my will. What does that mean? A man that wants what I want.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Wants what I want. Glory to God. And that's why David is David. And why he selected him instead of somebody else. Well, here he's saying, I selected Aaron. And Levi, Malachi says, was selected because of the fear, which includes reverence. And that includes honor. And the word honor, he's talking about that in this very passage. And we're getting to this verse right here. Honor means value. You're valuing something. Something that is greatly honored is precious. Same thing. So he said, I selected him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest. Should that mean something to us that God called us?
Yes.
God led us.
Yes.
Oh, I thank him all the time, Phyllis and I do, because we're just country people from the back area of Mississippi and didn't know anybody. Nobody knew us. And what God has let us be a part of and let us do, I just pinch myself all the time going, God. God. And just five plus years into us following the Lord into ministry, we left home and went out to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Got involved with Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry in Rhema. And I mean, only there, just a few months, and I got to be a part of their prayer and healing center they were opening up. Was one of two that was selected to be the first ones.
Yes.
And I thought, well, me. And then next thing I know, I'm involved in that. I'm involved in the other. I'm in some of the best meetings I've ever heard about. I'm hearing some of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And one day I realized there are all kind of people on this planet that have never heard even one good faith message. And here I am, here Phyllis and I are, in the middle of this, rubbing elbows with God's generals, and in these meetings, God. And I asked him, I said, Lord, why us? Who are we? Why us? A few days later, he answered me. He said, because I knew you would value it. That's what he said to me. I'd asked him, why have you allowed us to be a part of so much and just keep giving us more? Just keep giving us more. Didn't the Bible say, to him that has, shall more be given? If you put that with the other scripture, that's when he had said, take heed what you hear. Take heed how? How should you hear it? And just like that, when I asked that question, and he said, because I knew you would value it, he took me back in a flash to the first time we had heard some things, and we got so excited, and we tried to share them with some of our friends, and some of them were like, what is that? I mean, huh? I just look at you and go, I don't know about all that. Now we're laughing, but for their sake, it wasn't funny. Because how did they judge it? Let me say it another way. Did they despise it?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. Now, they wouldn't have called themselves doing that, but did they treat it like it was nothing? Like it didn't matter, didn't want to hear it anymore? Some folks we even tried. Well, no, here, take some more. No, I didn't listen to that last thing. I don't have time for all that. That's not just a few people.
No, it's not.
People all over the planet.
Yes, still happening.
And so, the Lord's answering his question, why we had been privy to so much and enjoy so much, and quickened to me that if we ever stop valuing it, that's where it stops.
Yes.
But if we can increase.
Yes.
Oh, can you? This is the meeting this week. If we can increase in our reverence for God, our love for God, our counting His things precious and holy, He will give His precious things to those who value them, who treasure them. Somebody say, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. Lord, I treasure Your holy things. I value Your holy things. Can we grow in this? Can we? Oh, yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. He said, verse 28, he said, I selected you and I gave to the house of your father all the offerings of the Israelites made by fire. He said, I gave all of that to you. Now, if you hadn't done a study on this, the priesthood was rich. And the Levites, the helps ministry. If everybody was doing what God told them to do, huge amounts. I mean, they got a big percentage and portion of everything that came in. Every herd, every flock, every crop. I mean, and that's what God was saying. I gave you all of this. And what else? And you still, you're not thankful enough to even show me some respect?
Yes. Mm.
When I say do it this way, when I say no, that's not yours. And so, verse 29, why do you kick, trample upon, treat with contempt my sacrifice and my offering which I have commanded? Should we talk about the offerings a certain way? Tithes and offerings. Should there be some respect?
Yes.
We should talk about it a right way. And honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves upon the choicest part of every offering of my people Israel. How many think that in the ministry, and not just in the ministry, every believer, we should be real clear about what's God's and what's ours?
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Now, you've maybe heard me say this before, but, you know, would it be all right for Phyllis and I to say, look, we want to get us a new car, and we don't have the money, but there's plenty of money in the church account, you know, in the building fund or whatever? So I see people shaking their heads and go, no. Well, what about you? Does the tithe belong to the Lord?
Yes.
Well, then why is it any different if you're spending the tithe on yourself?
Yeah.
Is that not exactly like a minister misappropriating something out of an account that is not there? It is exactly the same.
That's right.
And some of the most vocal people against ministries are doing it. They are such hypocrites. They're doing it. And if you, if you didn't know, you didn't know.
Yeah.
God knows you didn't know.
Yeah.
But now you do. Now you do. Verse 30 is, we finally got here. Can you see why I wanted to back up and talk about this? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I did promise that your house and your father should go in and out before me forever. What was God's plan? That Eli's sons would replace him, their sons would replace them, and it would just keep going generation after generation. But the Lord says now, be it far from me. Why? Did they forfeit their place? Because they did not respect the Lord. because they did not honor him. Be it far from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who what?
Despise
me, they will be lightly esteemed. Oh, friend, can you see this? There is nothing more fair in all the world in life and eternity than the Lord judging us and handling us the way we choose to deal with Him. Whether, I mean, when you talk about the offerings themselves, what determines our harvest? Not God. He that sows sparingly, right, will reap sparingly. Whose choice is that? He that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. You know, God is saying, it's up to you.
Yeah.
I will do it the way you choose.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I said, then that doesn't matter. If you got a lot, if you got a little, it's still your choice what percentage you deal with.
Right.
And so he'll bless you based on that. And that means nobody can really get ahead of anybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody's got an equal footing. Can make the choice. He said, those that honor me, I will honor. But those that despise me, if you treat him like he doesn't matter, you won't matter. And there are millions of people on this planet. They're living and they're dying. And everything they do in life doesn't matter. And it won't matter 1,000 years from now. Nobody will know or care.
Yeah.
The thing that gives you and I significance. The thing that gives you and I and our life significance. Number one, Jesus bought us and paid for us. Hallelujah. That makes me somebody. That makes you somebody. Now what happens next is a lot up to me and to you. If we will honor His things and respect His things, and when He gives us something. I remember those first messages, those first words that Phyllis and I heard. In our little 1969 Marriott mobile home with the old red shag carpet and the plastic couch. And the little battery-operated tape player. And Phyllis said she could still see it. And we plugged that tape in and we heard that we had been redeemed from the curse of the law. We needed everything. We desperately needed even a decent car to go to work in. We needed everything. I mean, I won't go into it. We needed everything. But the truth that the Lord became poor so we could have something. And He actually wanted us to have what we needed and come up. We got excited. We esteemed that word. We said, that's the word of God. That's the Bible. It's right there. The Lord said it. We got so excited about it, and we're now more excited than ever. You heard me last night talking about the gospel. It's the same thing. I'm more excited. Why? I treasure it. Phyllis and I treasure.
Yes.
We are not playing church.
No.
We treasure this.
Yeah.
We treasure this.
Yes.
And God just keeps pouring it on. He said, you like that? We go, oh, yeah. He said, here, have some more. We go, oh, God. He goes, here, have some more. He will load you.
Yes.
If you'll show Him reverence.
Yes.
And respect. Everybody stand on your feet, please. Oh, thank you, Lord.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.